audio. Yes, audio is working. I have to do these audio checks because I have to make sure I've got multiple audio input sources and I don't want my computer to automatically wiggle stuff around. It's not a big problem because I'm using Ubuntu, but I'm using multiple pieces of software to do this, actually. So I'm going to be that'll be a thing. I talk about that in other places. If you don't know, check out Ink is a Verb. Ink is a Verb. It's a brand I have, verb.ink, like not .com, .ink, verb.ink, I-N-K, like what you write with, the water, the writing water, ink, verb, like piece of grammar. We're talking English syntax and stuff. Verb.ink, go to the YouTube channel or just search Ink is a Verb in YouTube. I'm going to be making an announcement, kind of a town hall thing. Check it out. You can get an Ink Verb shirt. Go to jesse.coffee. Support projects, be a chap. This guy's brand is something I'm doing starting in Vietnam. Some of them are Vietnam supplied shirts. I was actually talking with, there's a guy right down the street from me here in Taiwan, and he's got a little store, and he's selling shirts and stuff from brands like Chanel and Armani, and yeah, he's got kind of a nose in the air brand little shop. And I asked him if he wanted my shirts. I said, well, I've got shirts made in Taiwan. And he said, Taiwanese shirts aren't good. They don't make good stuff. And I'm like, what? It's more expensive. And so he had some explanation and I couldn't understand his Chinese, but I'll be talking with him more. But if I have shirts made in Vietnam, he says, those will be good quality. The Taiwanese will want to buy them. And they'll pay money for them if you want to start your own nose in the air brand. So that's just interesting. Taiwan supposedly makes better quality stuff, but for whatever reason, the factories in Vietnam, I don't know. It might be when you get into mass manufacturing and you make 10,000 of the same shirt, you actually get good at making the shirts and you make them better. Whereas Taiwan doesn't get that many orders because their labor is expensive. It's like the king has these ultra soft. Well, no, I mean, the king should be wielding a sword fighting in battle, but, maybe not. You get a pansy king who's pampered too much. He might not be all that good at making stuff. He appreciates good stuff. The princess and the pea, she knows what's ultra comfortable and what's not. But does she actually know how to make those mattresses that she appreciates? Well, maybe not. So this is the rich society complex thing. So I think I mentioned previously in this week's podcast weekly that I had a friend who had a lot of success and the money went to his head and he's forgotten the necessary things, the character building experiences that will keep his money going. If you don't keep character building experiences, that money will make you lazy and inept. And then when push comes to shove and you've got to perform and, like Captain America says to Tony Stark, when you take off that suit, what are you underneath? And it was like Tony said to Peter Parker. If you're nothing without that suit, you shouldn't have it. Goodness, I sound like my dad. So Vietnam. Clothing made in Vietnam. Well, by doing business with Vietnam, we're teaching them the vocabulary necessary to understand fine details in clothing, and that actually, factory owners end up having to educate their Vietnamese employees on the American culture of the fine details that we have to think about. They have to learn and do math in the factory in order to make money. And they have to do that so that mom doesn't have to go to China to be a prostitute who still can't pay the bills. Like, that's going on. So the Vietnamese, their quote-unquote problem, everyone's got a problem, their challenge is that they just don't know the categories for quality manufacturing. The problem with China, the problem, quote-unquote, with doing business in China, is the Chinese are a lying culture. Deception is part of their grammatical syntax. Yes means no, and no means yes. And that's another soapbox I could get on. Asian pastors will defend this as part of their culture, even though Jesus said otherwise in the Sermon on the Mount. That's I don't want everybody to act like a Christian, but the Christians should act like Christians. I don't want everybody to follow the Bible, but the Bible teachers should follow the Bible. And that's where I draw the line. You got pastors, they'll preach, Jesus says, let your yes mean yes and no mean no. But then now let me tell you, in our Asian context, specifically our Chinese culture context, we can lie because it's part of our syntax. We don't want to tell people we did something wrong because we don't know how to apologize and be forgiven in our culture, you know, and yet we're going to talk about Jesus forgiving us. No. And it's so deeply woven into their culture to lie and be deceptive as a means of saving face and them emotionally not being what in America, absolutely. As an American, I believe it's true. Not mature enough to say you're sorry. You know how I was with kids at the beach the other day. You know, one kid had thrown sand at his friend. His friend was kind of sort of looking forward to it, scared of it. Threw the sand. It hurt more than expected. The kid started crying. His friend ran away. I went up to his friend and I said, hey, your friend is crying and hurt. Come talk to him. And so he obeyed me, even though he didn't know me. But I was with the families. The dad sitting there kind of grinning while this is happening. And I said, you hurt him, but he's still your friend. And I went over and I said, just say you're, you know, the kid was talking to his friend's mom. I said, don't talk to his mother, talk to your friend. And I said, tell him you're sorry. He said, I'm sorry. Or in his own way, it was like, I didn't mean to hurt you or something. And his friend, I looked at his friend who's crying. I said, your friend just said he's sorry and he's still your friend. He said, I know. And so they talked and I guided that. I went over to the dad. He said, what were the terms that he had? He said, it's a structured apology. He said, a structured apology. This is a guy, Chinese culture. Chinese is his native language. He's also an American citizen. He's as much American as he is Taiwanese in both language and citizenship. And he gets it. We need to be mature enough to say we're sorry. The Chinese can't do that. It's a lying culture by definition. Even the pastors at Chinese churches in America will enforce it. It's a travesty. Now, we actually expect to have our products made to spec from that culture? You know, they lie on the bookwork. Governments make laws on the assumption that people are going to lie because they lie all the time. Now, maybe they're changing and they can mature, but this is the state of things. So that's the problem in China. The other problem is they want to copy all of our stuff and sell it to someone else, reverse engineer it. Now, Vietnam, they're not a lying culture. They're a desperate and uneducated culture. We do business with them. We help their desperation. They won't have to be involved in so much prostitution. And it's huge. It's enormous. Do not get a massage in Vietnam. They're all prostitute shops. And the police won't shut it down because what are they going to do? If the police shut down the prostitute massage places, there'll be a homeless epidemic. You know, I mean, it's a death sentence. It's like this is the Vietnamese situation. So the Vietnamese, they're not a lying people. They're actually a very happy, rough and tough, forgiving people. It's really amazing how much they love Americans after what in the world we did to them. What Lyndon B.J. did to them. Now, Lyndon B. Johnson, the vice president who started a war after the assassination of his predecessor. So in doing business with Vietnam, look, I'm all for American jobs. I like what Trump's doing. I hope to bring stuff home. But China's getting more expensive, and so Vietnam is where the manufacturing is moving to because it's cheaper. that's a thing. So I'm all for stuff that's made in America, but I'm over here in Asia, and the factories that I know are in Vietnam, and that's a good thing. Now, here's my story, the bonus fun part that I'm going to wrap up with this for the week. I bought a product. I'm not going to say what, because I don't want stalkers coming after me. Too bad. But I might end up selling it as my own brand. I bought a nice product. Yeah, we'll say it's a hat. In America, it'd go for $45. I bought it for $10. Now, of course, I bought it in local currency, and there's a whole story from Asia with Love. I wrote about it there. That'll be fun. From Asia with Love is a brand thing that I run. It's my stories and my diaries from life in Asia. It's a lot of reading. So I bought this thing for the equivalent of $10 in local currency. And here's the deal. See, this is the factory that makes this stuff for a big fat brand, a big fat Western brand. And so this is kind of liquidation, flawed surplus stuff. And this actually inspired my point for the week, the point podcast thing that I do. See, you get these big American companies or other Western European companies. They want their stuff made in Vietnam, but they won't buy the defects. Or they want to pay super, super, super cheap, super little, and then charge through the nose. Well, the Vietnamese are trying to survive. They don't want to go to China as prostitutes. That's the reality. And men are not inclined to die quietly. So here these companies are paying super, super cheap for stuff. They won't pay anything for defects, or they'll pay a little bit. Well, the Vietnamese have a solution. Once they get the factory going and they finish making 10,000 for the order, go ahead and make 11,000. Once they order the big rolls of fabric from the truck made down the street, rather than ordering a second roll, they say, instead of giving us 10,000 yards, give us 11,000 yards. Well, now they've employed their neighbor more, so they're going to stay better friends and able, you know, their supplier won't go out of business. And they've got a little bit of extra fabric to play with. They fulfill the $10,000 order. They take the defects and they say, hey, they go down to the local market and they say to the rich American tourists walking by, guess what? You know that brand you pay $45 for in America? Well, I'm the factory that makes it for them. I make the shirts for Chanel. I make the shirts for Hugo Boss. I make the shirts for Armani. I am him. It's not a knockoff. And I made 10,000 extra or 1,000 extra. Here, have a real, genuine, fully bona fide, same factory, identical, real thing, same supplier, me, Armani shirt for $2 instead of, what you pay for over in Hong Kong. That's going on in Vietnam. Now, is it wrong? Well, liquidation, surplus, if, you know, how much are they paying? I mean, this isn't knockoff. This isn't some Chinese factory making a cheap copy. That's the real supplier. So it's not really knockoff. Now, are they licensing it? Well, they're not selling it as a store. That's the factory. Now, is that is Chanel or whatever, are they going to say, no, you're not allowed to sell our shirt? When the alternative is prostitution, men are not apt to die quietly. So they're, Vietnam's in kind of a tight, interesting position. So really, 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 this is the moral of the story for the Taiwan special this week. Go listen to the point. Treat your people well. The Bible says, do not muzzle the ox while it's thrashing wheat. If it's walking on your food, if it's making your food, walking on the food to make it. If the ox is making your food, let him snack on the food to feed himself while he's working for you. Don't underpay people. You put them in a desperate position. All this cheaper, cheaper, less stuff, this obsession with fancy brands. Oh boy. Oh boy, 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 boy. Well, okay, I'll let the education speak for itself. That's the Taiwan special for the week.